Welcome to the Survive to Thrive Radio Network at www.survive2thrive.net. Times are getting tough for most of us, and being prepared has never been more important. All of our hosts strive to keep you well informed so that you can achieve optimum health in all areas of your life. If you feel that the shows and website are informative, please share this information with your friends and family. If you would like to see certain topics covered, please let us know. Join us on Facebook to help spread the word. You can find the link at the bottom right of the Survive to Thrive homepage. EnerHealth Botanicals is the sole sponsor for this network, providing you not only with important information, but also with highly effective products that produce real results, such as EnerFood, coconut milk powder, liver cleanse, Coco Mojo, Silymarin, NutriCafe, and introducing the new 40-day, 40-night organic preparedness pail. A preparedness supply unlike any other on the market today. Supporting EnerHealth supports both this network and your own health. Without good health, we go nowhere. Go to survivetothrive.net and click on the EnerHealth banner on the top right for automatic discounts, or call them at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. You can also go to their website at www.enerfood.com. That's enerfood.com. enerfood.com. A big thank you to all of our listeners already taking the products that EnerHealth offers. We truly appreciate it. We thank you for your support and encourage you to listen often to stay informed during these crucial times.
Well, hello, 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 my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry program here on the Survive to Thrive Network. My name is Nathan Liao, and today is Tuesday, September 13th, 2011, the year of our Lord. For those of you taking notes, you're going to need them, folks. The website is watchmanscry.com. Well, it looks like the nation of America has dodged the bullet of a September 11th reenactment on the anniversary, which was just a few days ago, last Sunday. And when you think about it, that would have been too easy to do an encore on the 10th anniversary of when it happened. So I'm glad that nothing happened in New York City. But so many other things are going on in this world. As we look at the headlines of many media outlets, we can see that there's a lot of very rumbling things happening right now. We have the threat of Israel going to war. The UN is talking about dividing Israel, making Palestine an official state, which is, folks, the outcome of that thing, we're just watching on the sidelines, but that could be the very beginnings of either World War III, or it could be the beginnings of fulfillment of Bible prophecy. So I think that we do need to keep our eyes on what's going on over there. In addition to Israel, it looks like Greece is threatening the Eurozone with default. They're trying to come up with remedies, but the remedies that they've proposed continue to be failures, or there's a lot of fighting going on. There's disagreements going on with the other nations that need to prop up Greece to support them and to stop the implosion of the Eurozone. So we're watching that event. And at the same time we're watching that, we're also seeing that the U.S. dollar is also being threatened with default. And we've been talking about that for many months and many years now here on this program. So folks, there's a lot of events that are happening. And it seems that no matter what remedy the U.S. government tries to come up with, or the Eurozone, or the U.N., or the IMF, the World Bank, whatever remedies they try to come up with, they seem to fail continually. And we know that they're going to fail because we are in a very, very pivotal segment of time right now. We're in a season where these things are going to play out until we see the collapse of the Western part of the world. And that's going to include us. The United States of America is going to collapse as a world superpower. And we can already see that happening, folks. The numbers don't lie. The stats are out there. There's some new reports that just came out today talking about how poverty in America has increased the highest amount in our nation's history. We have the highest amount of people on food stamps. We have the highest amount of unemployed. We have the highest amount of foreclosures. Folks, the list goes on and on and on. We are facing some very, very dire times. I don't have to convince you. And in the midst of all of these challenges, the big question must be asked, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to react? How are we supposed to think? We've talked about a lot of those things on this program. And folks, as the days continue, I've often wondered if there's a set limit of people that are going to wake up to know what time it is. And after that set amount of predestined people are awakened, then is that it? Finally, the last lost sheep comes into the fold, and then boom, God's going to put us into a new chapter. Is that how this thing's going to play out? Because if that's how it is going to play out, then we need to, as the people of God, and also as the messengers and watchmen of God, we need to be doing our duties in the most economic way to accomplish the most in the shortest amount of time. We need to be focusing on the right areas so that we do not waste time. And the reason I'm bringing that up, folks, is because I know that there's other watchmen out there and messengers and people on radio programs that have also said that, you know, folks, the time is eventually going to come where the watchman will fold up his tent and then go start preparing his own family and preparing himself for what's coming to get situated. But just preparing our own family and our own situation, that's not the entire goal that we should all be aiming toward. In fact, the most important goal that we should be aiming toward is to find the understanding of what God wants to accomplish through this season. Yes, he's judging the land, and he's judging it for a reason. He's judging it for a purpose. It says in the book of Isaiah, when the judgments of God are on the earth, then the residents of the world will learn righteousness. That's the bottom line. That's the end game of what God wants to see in our lives. He wants to see all of us learn righteousness, my friends. It's not just about getting a lot of MREs and bug out bags and all that is important and it's good. And hopefully for us, it'll increase the likelihood and the odds and the chances for us to weather the storm. But the most important thing is, are we going to learn righteousness in this season? My friends, that's a very important question, because what if the season is only going to be 1 year long and then Jesus returns? Or if it's only going to be 2 years or 3 years? What if it's just going to be a month? What if some of us are going to find ourselves on the other side of eternity in just a few weeks? If we didn't learn righteousness, but we had a lot of bug out equipment, it's not going to make us look good when we're standing at the pearly gates before Jesus and Jesus says, okay, what have you done? I didn't really know you very well, my child. You were kind of a little bit of a stranger to me. I wish you would have prayed more. I wish that you would have studied more. Folks, we don't want to hear those things when we face Jesus. The goal of every one of us, the goal of our instruction, is to find the fruit of righteousness in our lives, to find faith in our lives, to find fruit in our lives that is evident and exhibited in the way that we react in the days that are coming, the way that we respond to one another in the days that are coming. The fruit, my friends, it's about the fruit. How are we going to weather this thing? Are we going to lose it and freak out? Or are we going to be rocks? Are we going to be trees of righteousness that have roots that go down into the ground, into the earth, that are very well watered, that are stable and strong? My friends, the goal of all of our instruction is that we would attain that place with God. That's your job, my friends. Mom, Dad, it's your job to be that strong for your family. It's your job to be that strong for your children. If you're a pastor, it's your job to have an answer, a well-seasoned answer, not just some poetic group of well-rehearsed words, well-sounding but empty of purpose. Folks, right now we have to get a word from God. We have to have the counsel of God. We have to know the mind of Christ. The time is running out and the time is short. So because of those things, the things that we're facing, because of this season that we're in, I have a new announcement that I'm going to be making right now. And the whole purpose of this announcement is just to let me just lay it out, folks. This is going to be my last Survive to Thrive program. I have a new direction that I'm going to be moving in this ministry. And this direction that I'm going to be moving in, I have been wrestling with. I was looking for the right time. I was seeking for the right time to go in this new direction. I wasn't sure if it was the right time, but then over the course of events, I had some personal friends that spoke to me privately, and they shared with me that they felt that it was time for the ministry to also move in a new direction that was going to focus more on nourishing and blessing others. So those of you that I spoke to and that were involved in helping me make this decision, I want to thank you for that. Folks, it wasn't easy to come to this decision, but the bottom line of it is I'm going to be focusing more on what I'm talking about right now. And I want to thank, first of all, Steve St. Clair for offering me this microphone. It's been almost a year that I've been doing this, folks. It's coming on a year. And I also want to thank Steve Quell for allowing me the privilege of doing this. I met a lot of new, very fine people on this Survive to Thrive show. I got in touch with people that I had lost over the years, with old friends. It allowed a lot of opportunity, but I need to change the focus. Now, some of you may be wondering why, and I want to explain. I'm going to take the next few minutes to explain why. But first, I want you to know this, my friends. I'm not going to go away. Watchman's Cry Ministries is not going away. I'm still going to be producing audio messages, but I want to concentrate on more of my regular sermons. Again, my friends, the hour is very late, and in the remaining hours that we have available for us, I must produce the programs that are going to offer the most benefit. Now, again, I'm not going away. My messages are not going to go away. In fact, you may be hearing more of my messages. They're just not going to be here on the Survive to Thrive network. So in order for you to hear my future messages that I'm going to be putting out, and if you want to be getting them, I want to encourage you to go to my website at watchmanscry.com. And on there, there's a place where you can subscribe to notifications of new audio messages. Or you can just click the contact link and contact me that way and send me your email address so that I will send you a notification when these new messages come out. Now, I want to share now why I'm doing this change. Most of you that listen to this program, you already know what time it is. And among all of you that listen, there's a wide, very, very wide and very expansive spiritual levels, spiritual maturity, spiritual condition, and preparation level among all of you that are listening. You feel the demographic gamut of very close to God, seeking God, hungry for God, or maybe a stranger to God, maybe watching from the sidelines, maybe watching from afar. So many of you have emailed me and you've told me that you are either limited in your ability to physically prepare or you've done all that you can do. So now what? What do I do, Nathan? I'm ready. I have all my rice and beans stored up. So what do I do now? What's the next chapter of preparation? So this ministry change that I'm going to be doing, my friends, is going to be to answer that question of now what? We all need to continue getting spiritually stronger. That's what the now what is. We need to do this so that we can be ready. And to accomplish this, it's going to mean that you need to be nourished, my friends. You need to obtain spiritual food. You need to deal with some spiritual things. And I know that for some of you, there are struggles. I know that some of you have strongholds. I know that some of you really, really are battling with some issues in your private life, some fleshly struggles, some temptations. Some of you want to get closer to God, but it's hard and you don't know what to do. You don't know how to get rid of some of these strongholds that you have. You wish that they would go away. They haunt you. They torment you. And then Satan comes in with his lies and he wants to condemn you and whisper in your ear that God doesn't love you, that you're a failure and he's given up on you. My friend, that's the purpose of what I want to do. I want to address those things. I want to help offer some spiritual meat that's going to help many of you get spiritually healed of these strongholds and these struggles. And I believe that we can do this. I believe that with the messages that God's already given me to start working on, it's going to address many, many of these things. And we need to be addressing these things right now, folks, because the things that are coming are going to be hard. They're going to be challenging. They're going to be scary, and we need to be strong. So this is where I'm going to apply my focus. And to do this, I need to produce more of my old Watchman's Cry sermons. Now, those of you that are familiar with my old-fashioned Watchman's Cry sermons, the ones that got this ministry started, those sermons are the meat and the original foundational strength of this ministry. And if you've heard them, you know what I'm talking about. There's just something different about those messages. And you know what I mean, folks. The Holy Spirit shows up in those messages. And my goal is for the Holy Spirit to show up. My goal is for the presence of God to drip out of the speakers to those that are listening. My goal is that the presence of God would come out and enter your room. And He'll touch you. The loving, nourishing, and kind, forgiving presence of God would be available to those of you that listen to these things. And I pray for the anointing of God to be on those. And I constantly, over and over, I get emails from many of you that say when you hear the actual sermons, I'm not talking about this radio program. I'm talking about my Watchman's Cry sermons. My last one that I put out was 163. It was about John the Baptist and the spirit of Elijah. Those messages, my friends, will touch you. If you're struggling and if you have not heard them, or if you have not heard some of my Watchman's Cry messages in a long, long time, folks, I want to invite you to go back to my audio library and start listening to those. That was the whole reason that this ministry, that's why I took the chance here on this radio program, folks. It was so that I could hopefully expose Watchman's Cry to more people. A year ago, I started this journey here on Internet News Radio with high hopes of using this format to draw people to repentance in Christ. And to use this format as an opportunity to share the words of repentance that God wanted me to share. But what has happened is that I was just spending a lot of time preparing for this radio program. But my friends, my true heart, my true calling is to preach the word of God, to preach the gospel, and to give a word of encouragement, a word of hope to those that are lost sheep out there, to those that are away from God, to those that are backslidden. My friends, I have a heavy, heavy burden for those that are backslidden, for those that are away from God. You know, Revelation talks about those that left their first love, talks about those that started out loving God, but then through the sequence of events, they lost their love. Their love for God grew cold. And Jesus addresses that in Revelation. He says those that lost their first love repent and do the first works. And I want to offer a word of hope for those of you that are suffering in those things. So I need to get back to the heart of this ministry. Another thing that I'm going to be adding to this ministry is that I have been contacted by many of you that are shut-ins. You don't attend church, or maybe you live out in the wilderness, you live out in a rural area, or maybe there's just not a good church in your hometown where you live. So you're frustrated and you get most of your sermons or your spiritual food through the internet, through places like Watchman's Cry and others, through YouTube videos of people preaching or through the internet. And I want to also concentrate on offering something for those of you that are sheltered and shut in. So I'm also going to be adding, and I'm going to be producing, a regular weekly audio Bible devotional. And this weekly devotional is going to be available either on Saturday or Sunday. I haven't quite worked it out yet, but I know that there are many of you that are on home cell groups. You participate in a home fellowship. Some of you do them on Saturdays and some of you do them on Sundays. So I want to offer that devotional also. And its purpose is going to be so that those of you that do not attend church will have something. You will have some sort of nourishment for your spirit. So in a way, it'll allow some of you to have church. I'm going to call it the Watchman's Cry Meet in Due Season. At this time, that's the name that I have. So, folks, again, if you want to receive these things, please go to my website at watchmanscry.com and subscribe to the notifications, because I will send those out when they become available. I will also be placing them on my website, and they will also be available on my forum. So, my friends, I'm hungry for God. I'm hungry for more of God, and just like you, I need to eat. We all need to eat, and I know that there are many, many of you that are struggling spiritually. I know that many of you need strength. You need a touch from God. You need confidence. You need hope. You need to hear that no matter what happens in your future, it's going to be okay. Why? How could a person get to that place? Well, it happens only, my friends, only if you are attached to your anchor. That's the only way. It's because you got a hold of something. And that something I'm talking about is deep down inside of you. And no matter how scary it gets, no matter how hot it gets outside, according to where you live, no matter how wet it is, no matter how flooded it is, no matter
how cold it is, no matter how dark it is, you need to know that you're not alone, my friends. Folks, do you remember the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Remember that story in the book of Daniel? And the king made that big statue and he told all of the people of Babylon, when the music starts, you have to bow down to the statue that I have made. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we're not going to do it. And they were taken to stand before the king. And the king said, I'm going to give you another chance, guys. Come on, do it. Or else I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. You know the story, folks. But when you think about what went on inside, of their mind, in their heart, what were they thinking about when they stood before the king? And when the king said, I'm going to throw you in the fire, you're going to be cooked alive in the giant oven. You're going to die. So bow down and then you won't die. But what did they say? They said, O king, we cannot do this. We cannot bow down before the idol, their statue. We can't do it because God will deliver us if you throw us into the fiery furnace. But, and here's where it's incredible, folks. They said, but even if he doesn't save us, we still will not bow down to your statue. We're not going to do it. Even if he doesn't rescue us. And you know, folks, that's the kind of faith that we need to have. So what kind of faith did they get a hold of? What did it feel like? What kind of thoughts did it allow them to have? And here's another question, folks. Do we have that kind of faith as an American remnant portion of God's body? Or as a Western portion of God's body? You know, folks, we feel so confident. We're not really used to seeing people die. We're not used to seeing dead bodies. It's a stranger to us. There's a detachment that actually is a part of our psyche. We don't think about it. But in the mix of that, we hear about how someday there's going to be martyrs for God. Someday they're going to chop off heads. We read about the book of Revelation. They overcame. And they didn't love their lives even to death. But do we really have a hold of that kind of faith, my friends? That's the kind of faith that Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego had. But what does it take to get a hold of faith like that? That's what I'm after, my friends. That's what I want to talk about. That's what I want to seek after. That's what I want to see in your life. That's what I want to see in your heart. Folks, think about this. They basically said, go ahead, pull the trigger. Gotta stop the bullet. But, O king, even if God does not stop the bullet, we're not going to bow. So go ahead and put the gun to the back of our heads. It's okay. Folks, that's incredible faith. That's the kind of faith that we are going to get, my friends. I believe that. It's time for the break. After the break, I'm going to continue sharing a few things that are on my heart. Folks, we'll see in a few minutes. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Good readiness must include storage of high-quality food that will build us up rather than tear us down. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined foods, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals has created our 40-day and 40-night 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free and has a 10 to 20-year shelf life if stored at 60 degrees or less. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. These are selling out fast at 1/3 the price of storable food packages. Call us at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to enerfood.com, enerfood.com. 866-762-9238. Or go to enerfood.com.
Welcome back, folks. Nathan Liao here. The website is watchmanscry.com. Today is Tuesday, September 13th, 2011, the year of our Lord. And as you heard before the break, my friends, I was announcing that this is going to be my final Survive to Thrive program. And I was sharing about the new direction that Watchman's Cry is going to be going in, navigating in, And it's not just a mental decision, folks. This is the will of God. This is the direction that needs to occur. This is the direction that many of us need to start concentrating on, and that's spiritual things. It's getting our spiritual house in order. It's getting out that broom and that mop and dusting the closets out. It's taking some of the things in our closet and having a giant bonfire. It's taking some parts of our lives and having a giant bonfire, or taking a hammer, or taking an axe. John the Baptist said to take the axe to the root of the tree, that it's time to do that and to bring forth fruit that shows that we've repented. My friends, just saying that we're Christians is one thing, but actually living it to the point where we could look into the eyes of a dictator, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, and say, we cannot do what you're telling us to do, so go ahead and send us into eternity. And to be able to do that with confidence and with faith and with peace. Folks, what kind of faith did it take for them to say such things? What kind of faith does it take to rest in such things, to believe such things? Folks, in order to do this, it's more than just information that we read off the pages of a book. It's more than just intellectual knowledge. It's more than just the words that come off of our lips that we communicate with others. It's more than the words that we type on the internet to portray and claim that we're Christians. Folks, this kind of faith is the real faith. This is the real deal. And when Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were facing the king, were they afraid when they said it? Did they say it with fear? Did they say it with confidence? You know, folks, I've thought about this. Did they have peace when they said it? Did they have the presence of God around them when they said it, and that's what helped them to endure the words and the outcome? Was it just a verbal proclamation? And after they said it, did they mumble under their breath, oh boy, what did we just do? What did we just get ourselves into? They're binding our arms and our hands, and they're picking us up and about to throw us in the fire. Oh boy, I hope that this works out. Oh boy, oh boy. Did they do that, folks? My friends, I believe that they did have peace. I believe that they had the peace of God. I believe that they experienced a supernatural peace. And I believe that they had a hold of something. And that thing that they had a hold of, was it something that they had just gotten a hold of just a few days before? Was it something new to them? A week old, a month old, maybe a year old? No, my friends. It was not new to them. They were familiar with God. They were students of the Word of God. They had a peace that was nourished and established by faith. They had it by faith, my friends. Now think about those words. By faith. What is that? Well, it's that supernatural anchor that attaches God to your inner soul, to your inner spirit. Real faith is that anchor that attaches to you, my friends, to you. And when it attaches to you, you're not a regular person. And you don't think like a regular person. You don't think like your neighbors. You don't think like your fleshly co-workers. You think different because you are different, because you have an anchor from another dimension that has a hold of you. And this anchor assures you when it's attached to you that there is more than this old life that we're living right now. It assures you that there's more beyond our frail bodies. There's more beyond the constant day-to-day struggles that you have to endure now. When that anchor is attached to you, my friends, it assures you that there's another chapter that awaits those among us, those who trust in Him for redemption, for salvation, for forgiveness, and for hope. Folks, that's supernatural faith. And my friends, this kind of faith is available for you. It's available to become the very needed anchor for your soul. And we all need to get a hold of this. Folks, I need to get a hold of this. There is so much more that I want to get a hold of. I'm not where I want to be. There's so much more. And like Isaiah, when he stood before God in Isaiah chapter 6 and he saw the glory of God, when he saw God in His perfection, when he saw God in His majesty, in His holiness, when he saw God with the angels flying around Him crying out, holy, holy,
Isaiah's only response was, "Woe is me, because I am undone." He realized that he fell short of God's glory. He realized there was so much more that he needed. And my friends, I'm hungry for that. And I want to see you hungry for that. I want to see you hungry to not just say that you think about it, but I want to see you so hungry that you have an earnest drive, an earnest desperation to seek after it, an earnest desperation to cry out for it. Folks, we need to get a hold of that kind of faith. And when we do get a hold of it, when you do, when you get a hold of this kind of faith, my friends, then all of the turmoil, all of the scary and perilous events around us, all of those things with the loud noises and the scary sounds, don't mean nothing in light of the bigger picture. Folks, there is a plan for your life. It's God's plan for you. It's the plan that Jesus has for you. And I know that many of you struggle. I know that you're scared. I know that many of you say, "God, I'm scared. What now? What do I do now, God?" My friends, God knows your situation. He cares about your situation. But he wants to see us begin realizing. He wants us to realize that we need to look at our life through a different lens, through a different perspective. I know that so many of you wonder and you say, "God, why? Why am I going through this?" Folks, the reason that you're going through your situation right now is because God has a reason. He has a purpose. He has a desired goal in allowing these things to happen in your life. There is a reason, my friends. Nathan, how could God have a purpose? I always heard that God just wants to bless me and all I have to do is pray and he'll answer my needs and I would get it, but my needs aren't being met and right now I'm losing everything. I've lost so many things. If you only knew the struggle I'm in, if you only knew how loud the thunder is outside from this storm I'm in, if you only knew the waves that are tossing me about, if you only knew, Nathan, how could God have a purpose in this? Why is he doing this? Is he mean? Is he bored? Is he up in heaven and he's just bored? And he's throwing down lightning bolts? He's throwing his lightning lawn darts down on the earth and I'm the target? Is that what it is, Nathan? How can this be the will of God? I'm broke. I'm broken. I'm lame. I'm sick. I'm hurting. I'm stripped. I've lost so much. I feel abandoned. My kids don't talk to me. My friends betrayed me. How could this be God's purpose, Nathan? My friends, your story is being experienced by so many people right now. And those struggles have become a very common burden on many of you that are listening. I know this is true because I get your emails and I hear your struggles. You say, "Nathan, pray for me. Add me to your prayer list. Why is this happening?" Here's why, folks. It has to do with that little known, rejected, spiritual, powerful secret of purging. John the Baptist said when he was talking about our Messiah Jesus, when he was talking about the Lamb of God, he said, and he was talking about Jesus, "He will purge his floor." Folks, think about that. Jesus is going to purge his floor, his threshing floor. And if you're part of the harvest of God, if you're one of those grains of wheat, in God's threshing floor, he's going to sift us, folks. He's going to purge his floor. And my friends, that is what is going on in many lives right now. It is his purging, his sifting, his threshing. He's pruning us for our own good. He's stripping us. And my friends, yes. Yes, I know it hurts. And yes, I know it causes pain. But he's doing this right now because of the season we're in, folks. He's doing it because he loves you. Folks, as these things are occurring in your life, please, please navigate yourself. Please navigate your soul and your spirit toward God instead of away from God. It's a very, very volatile situation when a person gets purged by God, because that is when God is going to find out whether they run closer to him or if they get bitter and angry and run away from him. Now, I'm not saying that that doesn't mean that we can't get frustrated and have a lot of questions. But folks, please do not allow it to make you bitter. so that God becomes a stranger in your life. And I want to talk briefly about what happens when we go through purging. And here's one of the huge and big reasons that it happens, folks. There's a laundry list of reasons, and in some future messages, I'm already working on them. I've been seeking God for a while now on these matters, and the Holy Spirit has given me a lot of insight and input about these things as I've read his scriptures and studied this matter. So there's a lot of reasons that we go through purging, a lot. And it would take many, many sermons, and I plan to address them, folks. But one of the reasons that we have to go through purging is because when we go through purging, then we become broken. And what I mean by that is our confidence gets stripped away. The self-confidence that at times alienated us, it made us strangers to God. The self-confidence that had a tendency in many of our lives to influence us to build these fortresses around us, these fortified walls around us. But these walls that we had and these fortresses were made by the hand of the flesh and the arm of the flesh. They were made by things of the earth, possibly by our wealth, by our knowledge, by our situation. And we placed our trust in those things. And instead of us trusting God, we trusted in our job, in our job security. Folks, think about that. Some of you know this is true. When you attended church or when you prayed about provision, subconsciously there could have been a fleeting thought that, well, I'm okay because I have this job and I got great job security, so I don't have to worry about it. So it was confidence built on earthly things. So possibly our level of faith in God and his provision was not there. And God had to strip that part of our life away from us. Because the bottom line is this, folks, we have to get to the point where we have the faith that I just described in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We want that, folks. That's what we need to seek after. So when God purges us, he breaks those things out of our lives. And when that happens, there's a tendency for a lot of tears to be shed. A lot of you that are grown-ups, you might not tell your family members because you're trying to be strong, but Dad, maybe you didn't tell your wife because you were trying to be strong. Or Mom, maybe you didn't tell your husband or your kids. You didn't want them to see you broken because you wanted to be strong in their eyes. But you know what I'm talking about. You got alone and you were broken. You cried, God, why? I'm scared. What am I going to do? I'm unemployed. I only have 6 months to figure something out. And then what, God? I'm going to lose my house. I'm going to lose some of these things that I've been paying for. I'm going to lose our car. And you're broken before God. And my friends, this is what happens when we become broken before God. When a person is broken before God, it accomplishes a very needed goal of breaking up the fallow ground of our hearts. Because our hearts have a tendency to build up a layer of crust on top of them. And this crusty layer solidifies, and then a new layer will build on it and solidify, and layers will build, but it makes our heart harder than it should be. And it makes our inner spirit harder to break through and to hear the voice of God and to feel the presence of God. I have talked to many individuals that have told me I can't feel the presence of God, but at the same time, I know that I have a hard heart. And the supernatural thing that's incredible that happens in purging is while this is happening and while God breaks up the fallow ground and blows those layers of dirt and silt and sediment off of our hearts, then our hearts are able to be open and laid bare before him. Then he can reach them. And it is at that moment, my friends, when we have a heart that the fallow ground has been broken, it is then that you will be able to hear his voice. That's our goal, my friends, to hear his voice. This happened to me several years ago. Those of you that have been regular listeners to this program and my ministry, I shared several years ago how I had an injury. I was crippled for 2 years. I tore my ACL in my left knee, and we didn't have insurance when this happened. So I just had to weather the pain and the swelling for 9 months. I wasn't able to go to therapy or rehab or any of that. I didn't get the reconstructive surgery. So I was a cripple with a homemade cast and some crutches that I bought from Goodwill for $2. This was a few years ago. When I went through this season, I needed to go through this. I didn't realize at the time that I needed it. And the day before it happened, I didn't realize I needed it. 1 month before and 6 months before, I didn't think I needed it. But when I was going through it, I started experiencing God in a way I never did, because my friends, I went through 2 years of very challenging hardship with my family. It was a struggle, and it hurt. I mean, it literally hurt, because I couldn't get medicine, and it hurt. At the time, the biggest fear that I had was having to realize and come to terms that I may never walk again like a normal person. And during that season, I actually had dreams of running on the beach. I'd wake up and tell my wife, "Hon, I had a dream that I was running on the beach, but of course I don't think that'll ever happen again." And at that time, I didn't think it would. And during that season, I did a lot of lamenting, folks. I was broken, and I did a lot of crying out to God. But during that moment and during that season, I noticed that I could hear his voice very, very clear, because God stripped away all of the things that I trusted in. A lot of things became more clear because I could hear God's voice. I could feel his presence. I knew he was there when I was going through this struggle. It was a very scary time, but I knew God was there, and I never would have discovered God in this manner if this would not have occurred. I want to just share a quick part of my testimony about this season in my life. After this happened, when I was crippled for 2 months, I didn't leave our house. This was years ago, and my wife would go to Walmart and buy some food and then come home. And after several months, she said, "I wish you would go with us." And I said, "How can I go with you? I can't walk." And she said, "Well, you can drive that little golf cart that they have. You know that golf cart that Walmart has, folks, for the quote-unquote cripples? That's why I didn't want to ride it, because it was for the quote-unquote gimpy cripples." But finally, she talked me into it, and it was about 2 months later, and in I went with my crutches, and there's the thank you man in front of Walmart with a big grin on his face. He sees my crutches, and of course, he says the nice thing that they're supposed to say: "Welcome to Walmart, sir. Would you like one of our convenient little carts to ride around in?" And of course, I was embarrassed, but I said, "Yes, okay. I'll hold on to your crutches here. Here's how it works." So he showed me how it works, and I got on it, and I started following my wife up and down the aisles in this gimpy golf cart, and I was miserable as I rode around in this thing. I wanted to cry. I just, in my inner soul, was so concerned. Everyone's looking at me. They're probably wondering what happened. And so we shopped, and then as we were shopping, I did the dreaded thing that I didn't know. You're not supposed to go down a dead end in these golf carts, folks. Just, if you have been thinking about driving these things, here's a word of advice. If you go to down a dead end in these golf carts, then you have to back up. And when you have to back up, oh boy, the reverse beeping. You know that sound? Beep, beep, beep. Yeah, that's right, folks. Here I was backing up with the beeper. Everyone's looking at me, and boy, was I embarrassed. So, of course, my kids were laughing at me and pointing. I was that guy that everyone was looking at. So we went, we paid for our food, we went home, and I was so crushed. And when we got home, I didn't want to talk. I said, "I just got to be alone." So I went into our bedroom, and I shut the door, and I just hit my face on the ground. And I started lamenting to God, and I said, "God, why? Why is this happening to me? It's so embarrassing. Why are you letting this happen to me, God? It's so humiliating. Why?" And then I heard the voice of God as clear as day. And it was not an audible voice, but it was the inner, still small voice. But it was very clear, folks. And this is what God said. God said, "You're going through this because you have pride." And when I heard God say that, I lifted up my head, and I guess I must have felt like Peter when Peter said, "Jesus, don't only wash my feet, wash my whole body then." Instantly, I looked up at God and I said, "Well, God, if I have pride, then take it away from me. Strip it away." And then God answered, and this is what he said. He said, "I am stripping it away from you. That's why you can't walk." And when God said that, my friends, then it started to make sense. Then I started to realize that God was in it. God understood what I needed in my life at that time. God understood what my future was going to be. Now, this was before Watchman's Cry got started, and God knew that in order for him to use me in Watchman's Cry, I needed to go through this season of stripping and purging. And also, it was during this season where I was able to start hearing his voice so clearly, and this is also when the prophetic giftings arrived in my life. The prophetic dreams that he started to give me, they happened in this season when I was poured out, and I had nothing left inside of me. So, my friends, I want to just offer you a word of encouragement. What you're going through has a purpose. God is stripping us because He loves us. He's stripping us because there's parts of our lives that don't need to be there. He's stripping us because He cares. He wants to use you, and He knows that the pain that you're feeling right now will be able to minister to many, many others. He's going to use you, my friends, if you allow Him to. So there's a reason. There's a reason that you're going through what you're going through, folks. There's a reason for your story, for your struggle. And my friends, because there's a reason, and because there is an outcome that God wants to see happen to our lives through this, God wants you to find the gold in your trial, my friends. There is gold that you can attain and find and discover in this season. But folks, you must do it. You must be involved in this matter. So please do not be bitter against God. I know that a lot of times on these programs, we've talked about the season that we're in, because it's obvious that we're under judgment. It's obvious that times are going to be bad. I know that I've shared here and there that I'm not sure if it's just the judgment of America that's happening right now, or if it's the beginning of the end times. And I've shared that openly and honestly, folks. I don't have that answer, but I do know this. We are going to experience the judgment here on America. And also I know this. We are going to see America reduced as a world power, as a world economy. And we're going to see the middle class get destroyed and wiped out. And as those things happen, our lives are going to be affected. So you need to have the spiritual strength to endure it. You need to have this faith that I'm talking about. You need to find truth. You need to obtain nourishment. Folks, I want to see you obtain a new level of faith. In the last remaining minutes of this program, I just wanted to read a few verses from the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Now, Hebrews 11 has been called God's Hall of Faith because it lists many of the biblical heroes that we have read about in the Old Testament and the great things that they did for God. But it shows us that they did these great acts by faith. They did it by faith. They did it because they had a hold of this faith. And this is the kind of faith that I want to see for all of you, my friends. And in Hebrews 11:13, after it lists many of the biblical heroes and what they did, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them from afar. They were assured of them." Now, folks, listen to this. They were assured of the promises. What was that assurance? What was the assurance that's mentioned right here, folks? What is this supernatural strength that is mentioned? What is this anchor like? What does it feel like? That's what I want, folks. That's what I want for you. I want to get a hold of that. And it says they were assured of them, and they embraced the promises. They embraced them. That means they held on to them. They had a hold that would not let go. They had a hold of that promise. And the embrace that they had to those promises could not be taken away from them by a fiery furnace, by a sword, by the threat of death, by a bullet to the back of their head. They had a hold of it, my friends. And they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They realized, folks, when they looked around, that this life was just temporary. They had a hold of that. And here in our modern American or Western lifestyle, here in our first world lifestyle, it is so easy to be caught up in that paradigm that this is it. We have such a comfortable house. How could anything be better than this? How could anything beat this? How could anything outweigh this? The modern conveniences of man, the modern luxuries of man, beautiful houses with granite countertops, with beautiful wooden floors, with our beautiful mini blinds, all these comforts that we have, our air conditioning. And it's so easy to have these luxuries because, unfortunately, my friends, sometimes we've been told that we must continue to just concentrate on the prosperity, to prosper, to seek and seek and seek after these material gains. And how many in today's church are in that envelope of thought that it's about acquiring things? Folks, how many people have acquired so many things that they're afraid to die? They don't think about the afterlife. They say they're a Christian and they sing about heaven, but they would be afraid. They would be terrified. They would soil their pants if they were facing a dictator that said, choose life or death. Why? Because they have not realized and gotten a hold of the faith I'm talking about right here. And these that I'm reading about, these here in Hebrews 11:13, it says they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They confessed that they were. They knew that they were. They knew that they were just a candle that was brief. They knew that they were just a blade of grass, green for just a season. They knew that they were a leaf that flourished temporarily. They knew that they were just a flower in the field. And then that was it. Verse 14. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. They seek another place, my friends. It doesn't say they sing about. It says they seek. That means they are driven by it. It means that they think about it. They meditate about it. That this earth is just temporary. Verse 15. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. They desire it. And they know that it's going to be better, folks. They know that eye has not seen nor ear heard the things that God has prepared for us that love Him. Neither have we thought about it. No man has thought about it. No man has seen it. No man has heard about it. God has prepared another time and another place of eternity for us, my friends, for you. And when we can get a hold of this kind of faith that thinks about eternity, therefore, it goes on, therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. God's not ashamed. Folks, I don't want God to be ashamed of me. I don't want God to be ashamed of you, of us. We don't want to have regret when we meet God, my friends. The goal of our instruction is to have love from a pure heart and to keep ourselves unstained by the world. By this world, my friends, because we're seeking a better country. For God has prepared a city for them. My friends, there is a reward that awaits us. There's a reward that awaits you. The purging that you're going through right now has a reason. It's to show that this world is temporary, that these bodies are frail in the long term, because they're going to fail us. Eventually, they're going to die. And because they're going to die, we need to place our hope into the things of heaven, the things of Jesus, the things of God. It looks like I've come to the end of this program, my final program. Again, my friends, I want to thank you that have been listeners, but I still want to maintain communication, so please go to my website and subscribe to notifications. I want the continuation of this journey to be a beautiful continuation where you grow strong and nourished and become used of God, grow closer to God, become a person that God says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. My friends, I love you. If you have any questions or comments, you can go to my website or at watchmanscry.com, and there's a link to contact us. Our mailing address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. My friends, stay safe, be blessed, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.